Hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Welcome back to Aces Up the Sleeve. I'm Patty, co-hosting with the co-managing partner of Pocket Aces Racing, or PAR for the quick reference, Jared Shoemaker. And today we are joined by the executive director of the New York Thoroughbred Breeders, Naja Thompson. And in this episode, in this podcast, we're going to shed light on all things Pocket Aces. We're going to talk about the finer points of syndicate ownership. We're going to discuss what you all, the listeners and the fans, have asked us to talk about. And we're going to touch base on a little bit about the industry at large, because we are industry participants. But before we jump into that and we get going into this interview, just a quick hello and checking in with everybody. Naja, if you want to start, we can jump to Jared in a bit, but how are you doing? Are you enjoying the normally scheduled Saratoga so far? How's it doing up there for you guys?
Yeah, no, thank you, Patty. Excited to talk to you and Jared here today. We just wrapped up the first week of Saratoga, heading into week two tomorrow, and it's been fantastic. We had a New York bred just won the Grade 3 Sanford, so that was a big moment and another big star from the program upcoming. So it's been a great start to the meet so far.
Well, that is that's a pretty good kickoff for the New York breeders to have a New York bred just jumping up right out of the gate and getting going. That's nice, very nice.
Definitely, sure is a local based connection. So Jeremiah Engelhart as trainer, R&H Stable, local guys that live around the track in the Albany and Capital Region area. So just fantastic start to the meet.
Oh, very cool. Locals all the way around. That's very cool.
Definitely. Yep,
absolutely. Well, I just got back. I flew up on Saturday morning, back Sunday morning, just came up for the race and back. We had Irish Aces running in the ninth, and he ran a good race, man. He just couldn't find any openings there until it was too late. And he made a heck of a run at the end, but just came up a little bit short. But as always, you know, any trip to Saratoga, win or lose, it's a pretty good time. And we enjoyed ourselves and the great hospitality of the folks up there, and just racing like there is like no place other. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, there's two or three tracks that I think everybody wants to hit if you're a racing fan. And they're all three of them are a little bit different, but they're all special in their own right. And Saratoga is certainly one of those tracks. It is a unique and special place.
Definitely, Jared, and just appreciative of Pocket Aces Racing, your syndicate and participation in the program. You guys are working with top flight trainers and top flight partners. I know Dave well, so happy to talk to you on the line here. And also, you know, thank you for contributing to the game and getting more people involved in our game directly.
Well, that is the goal. You know, we Mark and I started this endeavor about 20 years ago, right around this time. Well, that was probably in August. This coming August will be 20 years, and we started really getting aggressive about trying to put this together. And we've gotten people involved that had, you know, one guy that's been in on a bunch of our horses, and he'd never placed a wager on a race his entire life. He'd never bet on a horse race. And now he plays the horses every single day. And you know, he's been involved in several horses over the years. So he's the type of person that we do this for, and to give other people that just love this game with such a passion and love the horses with such a passion that otherwise wouldn't be able to be involved in ownership. That's why we do it. So, we've been very fortunate to be able to do this as long as we have. But enough about us. Let's talk about the New York Breeders. I guess it's New York Breeders, Inc., correct?
Yes, that's correct. We're a membership organization. We are the official authorized representative of the breeding industry in New York State. So we promote the program. Not only on behalf of our members and interested parties, but of course the New York Breeders of our racing at the track as well, and also at the sales, and always looking to increase our fall crop and helping the national fall crop as well.
So tell us a little bit about, I'm very, very familiar with the Kentucky program and the Kentucky Breeders Incentives and all that, but I'm not, other than just, New York restricted races and New York bonus programs or, for the open races, I'm not super familiar about what all New York Breeders, New York Thoroughbred Breeders, Inc., and what the New York program offers to breeders and owners of New York bred racehorses. Can you just share a little bit about some of the highlights in particular?
Certainly. So, we're a program that's Firstly, you know, we want to reward the breeders. Those are the breeders of New York Reds registered on the breed with the jockey club for each horse that's running. Whether the horse as a New York Red, foaled in New York, goes on to sell at the yearling or 2-year-old sale, or gets in an owner's hands, whether through a claiming race or purchase at the sale, our reward structure starts with, you know, rewarding breeders. And you could breed to a stallion based here in New York, or a stallion anywhere in North America, or for that matter, any part of the world. We have a two-tiered system. So if you do breed to a New York stallion and your foal goes on to race in New York, you're eligible for a first place finish of up to 40% of the first money earned for first place in that race. For second place, it's 20%, and for third place, it's 10%. Now, those awards are capped at $40,000, but we just split that in half. So if you're sired by a non-New York sire, whether that be a Kentucky sire or any other regional sire, you'll get 20% for a first place win, 10% for second place, and 5% for third place. And that's a $20,000 award cap. So it's all about, we're geared towards racing in New York. We have the Narrow Circuit, and of course, Finger Lakes as well, here in New York State on the thoroughbred side. So varying your ability, if your horse goes on that you breed, goes on to race in New York, you're open to those awards as a breeder. As a stallion owner, your stallion is based here in New York. You get 10% of the purse money earned by the progeny of your stallion racing in New York State. And we also have open owners awards. So if your horse runs in open owner conditions and you are the owner, you're also eligible for 20% of the purse money earned by your horse in that open company race, up to $20,000. And that's 10% if it's a non-New York side horse. So it's really a two-tiered system where we want involvement. We want mayors coming into the program. We want to direct people towards New York Stallions, and those are getting better. We have Salamini, who's done quite well to start the year this year, Central Banker, or we have some proven sires. But as well, if you want to participate and breed to Stallions outside and save New York, there's money to be made if you run here on in New York, whether at Naira or Fingerlands.
So now if you go to, so let's say we send a mare up to New York in foal, the baby has to, they have to foal out there and then stay there a certain amount of time. What are the kind of the restrictions on that?
Yes, correct. So we got a tornado warning here in Saratoga. I might have some background noise.
I apologize. Do whatever you need to do. If you need to, to make it move.
No, I don't need to run for cover. I'm all right there. But yes, we do have residency requirements for the mayor. So when she's covered, she has to stay in New York, you know, 120 days after being followed, or if you're outside of the state of New York, it's also the 90 days you can return up to New York after being covered. So we make sure that, you know, we have some policing around the program that supports the boarding farms across the state when you bring your mayor to the state to follow and return back. We also increase participation by, if you purchase a broodmare in fall at $50,000 or more, we'll make that fall a registered state mare, so you can breed to any stallion you want. We won't have breed back requirements on that mare, so you can continue going to the stallions you want to. And we don't want to make our program restrictive. We want increased participation.
So now, what if we have a New York bred and we run, you know, just for whatever reason, you know, things work out and it doesn't, it, we don't get it up to New York. We run it and breaks its maiden at Keeneland. Are there bonuses for races outside of the state of New York, or are they strictly for New York racing?
Our bonuses are strictly for New York racing. With that, the fortunate opportunities we do have, you know, Saratoga, we do have the Belmont meet, but we are always looking at ideas on expanding, and we've been kicking around the idea of at least awarding, you know, grade one or possibly perhaps graded stakes winners outside of the state of New York. But, you know, working with the state government and a lot of lobbying we do, it's always good to get the politicians and that legislative support by stating that the participants in our program run back into state as well.
Right. Very, I totally understand that. So I appreciate that kind of the you know, real high level overview of what the program is. So now let's talk a little bit about you and how you got into this, into racing in general, and how you ended up with Thoroughbred, the New York Thoroughbred Breeders, Inc., and moved into this executive director position.
Yeah, no, definitely. So I come from a family. I was born in New York in Westbury, a Jamaican family. Jamaican has a real big horse culture. A lot of people don't know about it besides, reggae and Bob Marley. But there is a love for horses, especially around the beaches. If anybody gets down to Jamaica, there is one racetrack on the island, Caymanas Park. My family owned racehorses at that racetrack and, raced there as well. But when the family immigrated and I was born, I grew up going to Belmont Park, Aqueduct, the OTB. So that's where I got the bug for the industry and really became a fan. Later on, our family moved to Florida. So I grew up, and that time it was, middle school to high school. So I'd spend my weekends at Calder and Gulfstream. And, you can't ever get away from the game. So after wrapping up school at Florida State University, just always wanted to find my way back in the industry and was grateful enough to have an opportunity at NYRA to start in the marketing department. And over 12 years, just progressed from marketing to PR to HR. And for 3 years now, I've been with the Thoroughbred Breeders, joining the Breeder Member Association and just looking to continue and growing the sport. And it's been, a hell of a journey and a hell of a ride.
So now is the Thoroughbred Breeders Inc., is that part of NYRA, or it's, or is it like a subsidiary, or is it a wholly independent group that just runs the program?
We're a wholly independent group, so we work with the state mandated organization that distributes the award checks. That's the New York
Gotcha.
State Thoroughbred Breeding and Development Fund. They also register, New York breds and the stallions and the broodmares of the state. But our member organization works to grow the program and the promotion. So we spend the ad dollars in promoting the program. We go out and talk to the breeders, the sales companies, the consignors, getting that promotion. And as well, we look to grow the sport. We have a lot of educational programs, working with a lot of the schools in the area and throughout the state to make sure that next generation is here because it's about that exposure. We interact, we work with, the horsemen's group, both at Finger Lakes and at NYRA. And as well, we work through the racetracks and Delaware North, which operates Finger Lakes Racetrack, to make sure that neophrens have competitive races to run in. And outside of the state, we work with and interact with the THA and other organizations to make sure that, racing can be a healthy industry going forward.
Okay. So, typical day in the office at the Thoroughbred Breeders Inc. for yourself, and just how big a staff do you have? I mean, I assume it's a fairly, decent office. You got a lot of horses you got to keep track of.
Correct. We have a staff of around 10. It's a lot of subcontractors as well. For instance, the Saratoga Special guys, they do online web writing. The SC publishing team, those guys are great. But a typical day for us is, first of all, we have events gearing up to coming up in August. We have the Saratoga Open Yearling Sale and the New York Bred Preferred Yearling Sale. Those are August 4th and 5th and August 11th and 12th for the New York Preferred Yearling Sales. So right now we're gearing up towards events. We have a barbecue on Thursday, August 8th, gearing up for that. Interacting with breeders, getting their feedback on the program. Recently, there have been some announcements made. I'm sure you guys have seen as well. NYRA made an announcement that starting in 2026 in the winter, winter racing, of course, a key component to year-round racing in New York. Racing is going to move to synthetic racing. So getting the feedback from our breeders on that change, how we're going to interact with that, how our stallions tend to develop. And as well, just meeting out and shaking hands, Saratoga, I just said you're just a great place and a great opportunity to get face to face with folks and teach them and, get that exposure for the program overall.
Sure. So how many mares are, I guess this is not the right word for it, but I was gonna say operating, but how many mares are based in New York? Or, and I know that's impossible to say exactly, but just, best guess of me, how many registered foals in New York do you have every year? How many mares are there?
We're
What
about,
how healthy is the program right now?
yeah, you know, we're about 1,200 foals a year. It's a quite, interesting in situation because, nationally we have a foal crop that's obviously shrunk, but New York, we've been able to keep our water and just maintaining or actually slightly increasing year to year on our fall crop. I think it's New York, Indiana, West Virginia has been successful. Kentucky, of course, that's kind of the mainstay of the industry. But as a state-bred regional program, New York has been able to keep our order and maintaining our fall crop, and we're doing all we can to attract breeders and make sure our incentive program is, awarded people to run in New York because obviously we need the support of our legislators and keeping our social contract license, and that's why we interact with NIRA a lot and making sure that we are working with them to make sure that racing's always pleasurable for people to experience it and for our breeders to continue to participate.
So, and this again, I was, which stakes race was it on Saturday? It's like the second or third race of the day. There were four horses in the race. Graded stakes race, four horses.
Diana, no, that was
That,
not the
and
Diana.
this is not exclusive to New York. This happens. We see stuff like this all the time. And now, with the exception of turf races, which always, for the most part, the turf races always seem to be full, but dirt races, I feel like it's just a struggle all the time to get races full or to get them to go. What are you guys, and maybe this is not so much, maybe you're not as involved with this as racing secretaries and things like that, but what's going on in New York to try to address those short fields? I wouldn't say I was shocked because we see it all the time, but and I know there was a scratch, but still, four horses in a graded stakes race at Saratoga. Ah, oh, man, it's tough,
Yeah, no, it's certainly a frustration, and it's something that's developed over time. You have competing jurisdictions, and it's not just a New York problem, right? As you mentioned,
No,
it's a
not at all.
problem that you see at other racetracks as well. Here in New York, I interact and talk with Andrew Opperman, who's the senior VP of racing for NIRA, as well as the racing secretary, Keith Dolezal, regularly, just to try to maintain and make sure that the condition books are being written, as well as the stakes coordinator, Andrew Burns, and everybody. We're doing all that we can to, make sure that we're attracting folks to running the races on especially the NIRA circuit when you're talking about the graded stakes. Our role as a breeder member association is, making sure we can, make it market conditions as attractive as possible for people to bring in mares to the state. So, by the time we're looking at things, we're often looking at 2 years ahead. So one of the first things that I was able to accomplish by coming to NYTB and our discussions with NIRA, we got purse parity for New York bred starting in 2026. And for what that means, of course, when you have New York bred races and open races, there's always been a distinction, and the purses offered and that open races go for a little bit more. For example, an open maiden special race will be at around the $100,000 mark here at Saratoga. For New York breds, it would be at the 85,000 or eight, sorry, $88,000 level. Going forward in 2026, New York breds will be running for the same amount as open. So, we'll have that same $100,000 level for New York breds. So hopefully people are seeing that who are cheating, breeding and racing and see that, wow, I can run a New York bred and run for as much money as these open company horses are running. I want to bring my mare to New York and take a shot at it. So that's kind of what we're working on. But no singular solution. It's always a point of discussion when I'm meeting with the NIRA management team, and we're doing all we can to work on recruitment, making sure we're keeping track of our horse population, and making sure that people are enticed and have the opportunity to want to participate and run in New York.
So I know we've got a number of breeders that own horses or that having their mares. We have some mares. If anybody that's listening out there wants to send some mares to New York, but they don't really have connections in New York, can they call your office and you can help put them in, put them in touch with the people that can take care of them?
Definitely, Joe. That's what we're here for. We're here for people who are interested. Call our office, visit our website, nytbreeders.org, and our office line information is there as well. And, we won't just give you one recommendation. We'll get send you several farms in the area that you think you'll want to, visit to the most or want your mare at. And that gives you a choice of variety to meet people, speak with them on the phone, to get that caring service that you're accustomed to make you feel comfortable. So, you know, not about just pointing people in one direction, but giving people a variety of choices to make so they can make the final decision of where they want their mayor to stay at and know that it'll be taken care of here in the Empire State.
And I would caution anybody listening this. Don't think that you can send a mayor that hasn't been successful in Kentucky and send it up to New York and all of a sudden you're going to get good runners, because New York racing is tough. New York bred racing is tough. We've had a couple,
Right.
and it's a smaller program relative to, but for a regional state program, it's not small at all. It's pretty good size.
Yeah.
And you get 1,200 mayors being born every year. Or 1,200 foals being born every year. You're getting some damn good runners, and we've run into a bunch of them over the years.
Yeah, certainly, Jared. I mean, it is a state-bred regional program, but it is at the upper tier echelon. We have 60 million in purses out there for New York bred, so you can imagine it's quite competitive. We have our mainstay of trainers and even the big guys who have their stable of New York bred, so it is quite competitive. But it's worth, taking that shot. We also have a Stallion Stakes series, so those are a series of 10 races just for progeny of New York sires, and that's 2.3 million among those 10 races split up. So there are various, angles and entry points into the program. But certainly no easy path. Every path forward is still a horse race, still a competitive industry. But that's the fire that draws us to the races each day.
That's exactly right. And yeah, I mean, it's we're always on the eye, have our eyes open for New York value plays, because we're value shoppers. I'd love to have the funds come up there and hit that Saratoga Select sale sometime, but that's not the part of the pool we're swimming in. So we're always looking for value, and sometimes we find it and we pull the trigger. But man, the racing is very, very competitive. It's very solid. There are other state programs out there that are much less so, but New York is 100% top of the line, no doubt about it.
Definitely agree.
Thinking about your career in racing and your lifelong fandom of racing, talk about some of your favorite memories. Either on the track that maybe, I don't know, have you ever, I assume have you've probably dipped your toe in ownership here and there?
My uncle was a small-time breeder growing up in Florida. He bred a multiple graded stakes horse, Get Funky, who ran in a Breeders' Cup but kind of ran up the track in that race. But besides that, with my uncle, still looking to make my full way into the ownership side. But always been
Well,
a
hey,
fan.
we're right here.
Certainly, Jared. No. You guys certainly run a top flight in, a respectable organization. So definitely in my considerations when I do make my foray to
Not to
ownership.
shamelessly self-promote or anything.
Oh, no. I will
Nothing
shameless.
wrong with
I will do
that.
anything shameless. I will self-promote all the time. So Get Funky. Tell us a little bit about Get Funky.
Get Funky was a horse bred by my uncle, trained by John Sadler, multiple graded stakes winner out on the West Coast. But just a thrill. So that was around the high school years for me. In terms of my career here at NYRA, fortunate enough to cover two Triple Crown winners with American Thoroughbred Justified when I was with the NYRA press office. So those were two, terrific moments, as well as just the top flight horses, Songbird, Wise Dan, the top horses that have come through on the circuit. I worked in the press office for 5 years. So getting to talk to Hall of Fame trainers day in and day out, you just can't trade that knowledge. And at least for me, and I'm sure for you, Jared, as well, and your partners and Patty, there's nothing better than going to the backside in the morning with a cup of coffee and just walking around. Whether that's from 5:30 a.m. if you want to hit the track with Wayne Lucas, or 10 o'clock in the morning when everybody cools off with training. There's nothing beats that. I think those are the best moments for me.
Absolutely. That's those peaceful mornings on the track, which sometimes turn into not so peaceful when a horse gets loose and those sirens start blaring. But they're just sitting down on the rail with a cup of coffee, watching the horses breeze and gallop, and just sometimes you just jog by. I mean, it's just, I'm with you. That is, I love that moment. It is just, I always feel like I'm in the right place whenever I'm able to do that. So. Reflecting back, you talked about the Tapeta surface at Belmont, and you know, obviously Belmont is going to look like a whole new animal once it gets
Yes.
up and running. And I had actually talked about this some at the table on Saturday when we were discussing, you know, the renovations going on at Kingland, you know, other renovations that are continually ongoing. It seems like there's always something going on at Churchill. Is part of the effort, and granted, you know, I know Belmont needed some work, and needed it was there. So there's, I know it's, this is not the only reason, but is there, do you feel like there will be a concerted effort to get the Breeders' Cup back to New York once Belmont is complete, or is this just being done primarily because it was time and we need to bolster New York racing?
Oh, no, make no mistake about it. One of the intended goals is to bring the Breeders' Cup back to New York, back to the East Coast, just to get that, you know, equitable distribution as we have seen previously. You know, we'd like to see it at the Keenelands. We'd love to see it at Churchill or the West Coast, Del Mar, Santa Anita. But the Breeders' Cup definitely does need to return to New York at some point. And we're hoping that happens in 2026 when the Belmont Park redevelopment project is expected to be complete.
Okay, very cool. And that's kind of what we were all, that was what we expected. I'm dubious. I hope it works out because I think we do need to spread it around a little bit. I feel like, though, that we are very much in a pattern, at least for the time being, where it's going to be at four racetracks. And, you know, I again, I hope that changes because I would like to see it spread around because this is a nationwide sport. You know, there's fans of racing from one end of the country to the other. Top to bottom, east to west, and you know, let's spread it around. Let's give some other folks some opportunities to host because some other tracks have done it in the past, and they've done an absolutely fantastic job of it. So, what would you? I mean, just thinking about though the impacts of having that Breeders' Cup, if we can get it back to New York, what kind of impact would you foresee that having on the breeding industry in particular in New York State?
Oh, yeah, tremendous impact. You know, I believe, you know, Breeders' Cup announcements of cyclists are definitely within that 2-year window. So we're sure that we'll get a boom anytime if that is announced. And hopefully it is so when the Breeders' Cup returns to New York, that it will give a real injection to our New York Breeders' program and people interested and definitely want to, you know, get a peek on how they can get involved because, you know, you have the opportunity at the top level of the program for your New York Breeders to hopefully running one of those Breeders' Cup races, but leading up as, you know, any side host for the Breeders' Cup, the entire week is special. And, you know, we'll be sure to have New York races, you know, on the week leading up to the Breeders' Cup, as well as runners, hopefully, on the 2 days of races itself. And, yeah, going back to the Belmont Park redevelopment project, it was about right-sizing the facilities. I'm sure, Jared, you've been to, or Patty, Belmont Park previously. Certainly in its heyday, when you could attract, you know, 80,000 regularly to the racetrack, a great time, and Belmont Park was perfect for that. But in today's age, you kind of want to right size the facility, you know, get us around that $35,000 to $45,000 mark, and then we'll have access to the infields where we can bring in more bleacher stands if necessary and hospitality VIP areas. So this is about making it a modernized facilities, restaurants, getting that entertainment value experience for new fans and traditional and regular fans to enjoy the races day in and day out.
And it could, now we had a tremendously successful Belmont Stakes at Saratoga.
Yes.
Why don't we just host the Breeders' Cup at Saratoga?
You know, I've heard those comments as well. I think, you know, the challenges, of course, what the weather's like in November, of course, in Saratoga in the capital region, just north of Albany that time of year. But, you know, Saratoga is such a special place and the summer meet, you know, a phenomenal tradition for everybody to experience. If you're a racing fan, if you haven't made your way to Keeneland, Saratoga, Del Mar, you know, you just saying, you know, those, you have to hit, those are the meccas, I would call them, in our sport. A couple more tracks as well, Churchill, of course, included. But those are kind of the mecca facilities, I think, in our industry. Saratoga, as you know, such a special place being here. And, you know, the great thing that NIRO does is kind of keep that mystique and any changes and developments that are made, it's always in tune with the history and architecture of that place, and that's what makes it special.
You know, we used to say that a lot about Keeneland.
Yeah, no,
And
Keeneland is. I love going to Keeneland as well. That's just a special facility, and the member sale and everybody in that organization, that program does a great job as well.
yeah, I was stunned when they announced that they were holding the first Breeders' Cup at Keeneland, or that first Breeders' Cup at Keeneland. I was like, man, how in the world are they going to pull this off? But they did it, and then they did it again, and they've done a
Yeah.
marvelous job. And now they're kind of going to make some of those temporary facilities. They're going to make them a little more permanent. So I'm anxious. I'm a little. I'm cautiously optimistic that it's going to hold that, same feel and traditional feel that it's always felt that we've always seen there. Once they get it finished, but fingers crossed. So imagine for a moment, and this is the question. This is the one question that I always ask. Imagine for a moment, you are king for the day in North American racing. You can make any change you want, and you're thinking about the state of the industry today, the state of racing today. You got carte blanche. You can do anything you want. What is the one change that you would make?
I think we've got to get more of our racetracks and racing on national television networks. Now he's done a good job with Fox Sports. We've got, FanDuel's participation. But if I was, quote unquote, commissioner for the day, to be seen floated around, I would work with every racetrack to get, coordinated time exposure on post times. We can't have rat tracks running on top of each other. And we have to have more racing in front of TVs and people's hands on their phones. So that'll draw people, I think, out to the track and increase our heyday, increase the participation, and really get down to increasing our full profit and attracting more owners as well.
You are so spot on with that. I can't tell you how many hours when I've just been in the office working or just sitting around, cooking dinner or whatever, and I flip it over on TVG and watch racing, or now I can do it on Fox Sports and watch racing. But I subscribe to YouTube TV. I can't get racing except for on Fox Sports. Can't get TVG on YouTube television. We've got to make it more accessible. You are spot on, and let's figure that out.
Yeah, no, Jared. It's the biggest frustration is, I love the, national cross country pick fours, doubles, but it's such a frustration when you're handicapping more than one racetrack on the day, and one post goes off at 5:56, the other goes at 5:57. We've got to get more coordinated as an industry because you just only frustrate the fans and future fans, and we've got to get on one page on that.
Cannot agree more. Well, Naja, I sincerely appreciate you taking the time to join us today. I know it's a dark day there at Saratoga, probably more usually a little day that the day that you can do a little more relaxing. So I appreciate you taking some time out of that dark day and that off day to spend some time with us and share some insights on the New York racing program. And I look forward to getting another New York bred here one of these days.
Definitely. No, next time you're up in Saratoga when Irish Aces or another Pocket Aces racing entry hits the entry box in New York when you're making the visit, please let me know. For all those interested, please visit nytbreeders.org to learn more about our organization and get involved in the New York Bred program. And really appreciate you guys giving me the time. And let's continue to grow the sport and get more people involved. And let's give them that thrill of, winning a race, whether as an owner or a bettor, and hopefully both.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And I will absolutely 100% be hitting you up, assuming we're up there on August 3rd.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you again for your time. Have a great
Thank you.
evening. And dodge those tornadoes.
Right?
Yeah, I know. We might be off the turf tomorrow, but hopefully not.
All right. Take care. Thank you.
Well, and as Jared said earlier, thank you to everybody who tunes in and listens to us every week. Our listener count continues to rise, and we appreciate everybody's support that you guys are listening, that you guys are enjoying these episodes. We were just talking about it before we started recording, but we've just been having such an explosion of listeners and over the last couple of days, over the last, you know, week, couple weeks, couple months. So thank you to everybody and welcome to our new listeners. Make sure that you're subscribed to any of our social media channels. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and on Twitter under Pocket Aces Racing. Also, make sure you're subscribed to our YouTube channel. That's been incredibly popular. I'm almost a little surprised, but it's been incredibly popular. So make sure you're subscribed over there. Also under Pocket Aces Racing, make sure you hit the bell to get notifications when those videos go live. And as I tell everybody every week, have a happy Wednesday, have a good Wednesday, make good choices, and the podcast is out.